kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
We have this morning former Tennis Australia senior physical performance coach and founder of the Project 6 Foundation, Daniel Boubris. Good morning to you, Daniel, and thank you for your time.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Good, thanks. How's Adelaide?
Adelaide, it's very nice here. It's a little windy, but looking forward to this morning's interview. Thank you for having me.
Yes, before we go further, Daniel, with all your projects and what's keeping you busy this time of the pandemic, can you tell us about yourself and how you landed onto your role as a former performance coach and working with Tennis Australia?
Well, I began at Tennis Australia back in 2011. At that point in time, I was working multiple jobs in the sporting industry as a strength and conditioning coach. One was with the South Australian National Football League, and the other position was with the South Australian Sports Institute, working in hockey and netball. And the South Australian National Football League was Australian rules football. I was running those programs, and I was approached by my supervisor at the South Australian Sports Institute, and he asked if I'd be interested in applying for a position with Tennis Australia as a physical performance coach based here in Adelaide originally. That role appealed to me, and so I went about the process of applying for it, and fortunately I was able to secure that role, and I began coaching young juniors at that point, which was part of the Tennis Australia National Tennis Academy program based out of Adelaide. I did that position for a couple of years, and then I was fortunate enough to be offered the opportunity to move into state to Melbourne, working out right next to the Rod Laver Arena as part of the new National Tennis Academy program. And it was from that point that I then moved into a bit more of a senior role with the elite transitional players. In other words, juniors that were basically transitioning into professional tennis. And those players included Nick Kyrgios, Jordan Thompson, Thanasi Kokkinakis, and Luke Saville, who's currently Australia's top doubles player. And that was also part of the former AIS program as well, which relocated to Melbourne. So I actually took that position on for around about 3 or 4 years. And then in my last couple of years, I then moved into a role with the professional men's and the National Davis Cup team, working under Leighton Hewitt, which was an exciting role. So I was very fortunate to work across, I guess, the whole spectrum of Tennis Australia. And through that experience, I was very fortunate to tour the world and attend some amazing events.
Wow, what an amazing journey. And you've been to, as you mentioned, you've been to a lot of places, and you've been to and fro to Melbourne as well, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we moved to Melbourne. You know, that was a great experience because my wife and I just had our first child, our son, Jensen. And so it was difficult for my wife initially as I was sort of traveling, but we made it work.
Yeah. Yeah. With all that you've been doing, and you've mentioned you've worked with Tennis Australia as well as with other football and rugby clubs as well. But what does a physical performance coach do, just for our listeners to understand what you do as your work?
Yeah, I guess the role really is essentially is to get players fit specific to the sport. So in football, Australian rules football, my responsibility was to basically get the team prepared to play their best possible football across 4 quarters of football. And that included strength training as well as conditioning. So that was running and cycling or bike riding, various forms of methods used to increase cardiovascular capacity. And then obviously the strength training, which takes on a series of methods, I guess. And each sport's a little different. So I guess it helps to understand the demands of the sport. So for me, it was a bit of a transition from moving from a team sport into an individual sport. And that's what I enjoy most, the challenges of working with different athletes from different sports. And really, at the end of the day, my responsibility is A, to get them fit, but to also, and more importantly, to develop the athlete as a person as well, which I believe will help improve their performance. So yeah, I find that a very fulfilling role.
Yeah, definitely, because all of these sports are very physical, isn't it?
It certainly is. Some sports are more demanding than others. They're all demanding in relative terms. Tennis, whilst it may not look demanding, is quite physically demanding in the sense that you're playing up to 3 hours on hard surface potentially every day in order to win a tournament. You're basically trying to win 5 to 7 tournaments in a row. And obviously with Australian rules football, it's a week-by-week basis. But the biggest difference is probably injuries. A lot of players in Australian rules football get injured quite regularly, or they sort of sustain niggles. Whereas in tennis, it's certainly more to do with overuse injuries.
Yeah. And you've mentioned earlier that you've worked with little ones, from those who are like the junior ones in the tennis Australia, isn't it? And moving up to the ranks of the professional ones. So how is that different in terms of your coaching strategy or your process of coaching them?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Certainly with junior development, we go through certain phases of coaching styles. Very much in the early phase of junior development, it is about education. It's about teaching young people, young athletes, how to train, which basically revolves around teaching them fundamentals in technique, the reasons why we train, how to look after their body, how to apply at intensity to training sessions, and to also develop a sense of game sense as well. So there's a broad spectrum of education that's been undertaken. As they get older and progress through the rankings and become, I guess, technically and physically more advanced, the style of coaching then becomes more of, a guide or as a leader in some respects, in and around teaching them then how to perform. In terms of being able to perform on the day and then recover, and then incorporating that into a performance schedule. So what a tournament block might look like, or what a pre-season might look like, or what an in-season competition might look like, whether it's for 1 to 6 weeks or if it's 1 to 12 months. So that's probably the second phase, a little bit more demanding. It becomes a lot more tactical and technical. And then the elite is more about improving and maintaining physical capacity, but also, and probably most importantly, enhancing performance outcomes. So in other words, winning. And a lot of that is around probably at this stage more management style. So you're certainly trying to guide the athlete and preparing the athlete both physically and mentally, but also managing their workloads in order for them to perform at their highest level.
I understand that for you to be ready for a competition, it takes a while to really start your practice prior to the competition day, isn't it? Say for the Australian Open, when does a player start to train if, say, Australian Open is in January?
Well, typically, I think it's important to understand what, I guess, a typical tennis schedule would look like. Tennis, unlike Australian rules football, is very much an all-season and all-year sport. So tennis players will typically travel from basically the start of the year right through to the end of the year and perhaps have 1 or 2, at most 6 weeks off to prepare for the Australian Open. So a build-up to the Australian Open might be, as we speak right now, there's particularly at the elite level, there's tennis players competing in major tournaments at the moment. They'll probably compete right through to the end of November. Sometimes they'll finish perhaps earlier, maybe at the end of October, for example. So the end of this month, and then they'll probably have 1 or 2 weeks off. And then what they'll do is they'll move into a specific training block or a training block that will start off probably resetting, what we call, in other words, rebuilding their physical fundamentals, building up their strength bases, building up their cardiovascular. And then there'll be a sort of a transition phase into more specific. So a lot of the drills are very specific based to their match style or their game style. And then probably the last couple of weeks, if not last week, will be very much match focused, so match simulation. And then essentially there'll be a whole heap of lead up tournaments into the Australian Open. If they're fortunate enough to get a main draw, some have to play qualies, so they're trying to get form before they go into the Australian Open qualies. And typically they'll get into the qualies either on a wild card, or if they've had some really good results during the course of the year, or they actually are inside the required ranking to be able to have immediate acceptance into that qualifying event.
So it doesn't really stop for any tennis player, actually.
No, it's all year round. And I think that's why it's a really demanding sport, particularly emotionally, because even now, given COVID's going on, there are professional tennis players from Australia that have been on the road virtually all year. So some have left in February and are still competing now overseas, trying to get their ranking points up. And I guess the objective of tennis is to get your ranking as high as you possibly can, so you automatically gain direct entry into the Grand Slam events. It is quite demanding and it is quite a long process.
And for those interested to be a tennis player, any tips for them that you can share, say if they really wanted to be a good tennis player and get into the competition?
Before taking on this role, I didn't actually play tennis. I was involved in tennis. And the reason why I played tennis, and I'd certainly encourage others, was because it was challenging. It's a really good sort of sport where you can set some objectives and really work towards them. And whether that's, for example, just learning to hit the ball or learning to get to a position where you can rally for more than 5-6 balls, and then it becomes a little bit more tactical. And tennis is a very technical sport. It also involves timing and coordination. And they're the elements that I really enjoy. And I'd encourage anyone that is willing to take that challenge on. And the fun part about it is it's an easy sport. There's a lot of tennis courts available here in Australia, and it can be very social and certainly can be very competitive. And it certainly is very good to keep your general level of fitness up as well. I guess those that are sort of semi-serious about pursuing tennis as a form of path, a sporting pathway, probably best to seek advice from an experienced tennis coach and ask what sort of pathway program they can start with or start at to sort of progress their game. And then it's all about getting tournament exposure.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast app.